Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malkuto, Leolam Vaed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning, Mishpacha. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Today is Sunday, February 19th. I want to share with you about a dynamite documentary series that is a must-see. This free documentary series can be seen at this website, neveragainisnowglobal.com. Holocaust survivors, children of survivors, and grandchildren, as well as German freedom fighters, express their shock at today's fear-mongering and divisive dictates that are reminiscent of the prelude to the Holocaust. In episode 1, Here We Go Again on Steroids, this episode is looking at the dialogue and outrage of the comparisons of then and now as told by eyewitnesses and relatives. In episode 2, Anyone Who Wants to Start a War Has to Lie. Once you see a lie, you can't unsee it. Survivors and their descendants recognize the weapons of deception and fear-mongering propaganda. Episode 3, Breaking the Veil of the Real Conspirators. As patterns and parallels are identified, we begin to see the continuity of genocidal operations. The same powerful dynasties and corporate entities behind it all come into clearer view. Episode 4, This Time Around, We're All Jews. Today's false narrative, the suspension of freedom, coercive medical dictates, and violation of human rights are not limited to Jews. Today's genocidal agenda targets the global human population. And finally, Episode 5, Never Give In, Never Give Up. The Holocaust was facilitated by sheep-like mass obedience to illegitimate authority. Those who resisted, by falsifying their identity, by jumping off the trains to Auschwitz, and joining the partisans, had a higher survival rate than those who obeyed. You can watch this free documentary series by going to neveragainisnowglobal.com. I encourage you to watch this eye-opening documentary series, which draws alarming parallels between what happened in the years leading up to the Holocaust and what has been happening in the last 2 years of the global coronavirus pandemic. Once again, the website to view the documentary is neveragainisnowglobal.com. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Hebrew Scriptures and from the King James for the Brit Hadashah. Today we begin a new Torah portion, Teruma, and it means offerings. Exodus 25:1-16. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, Tell B'nai Israel to bring me gifts. You shall accept gifts for me from every person whose heart so moves him. And these are the gifts that you shall accept from them: gold and silver and copper, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, dolphin skins, and acacia wood, oil for lighting, spices for the anointing of oil and for the aromatic incense, lapis lazuli, and other stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breastpiece. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exactly as I show you, the pattern of the Mishkan and the pattern of all its furnishings, so you shall make it. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 amot long, 1.5 amot wide, and 1.5 amot high. Overlay it with pure gold, overlay it inside and out, and make upon it a gold molding around it. Cast 4 gold rings for it to be attached to its 4 feet, 2 rings on one side of its walls and 2 on the other. Make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Then insert the poles into the rings of the side walls of the ark for carrying the ark. The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it. And deposit in the ark the tablets of the covenant which I will give you. Mark 3:31-4:25. There came then his, Yeshua's, brethren and his mother, and standing without, and sent to him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said to him, Behold, your mother and your brothers outside seek for you. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his doctrine, Hearken! Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some seed fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other seed fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said to them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said to them, Know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? The sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things enters in, choking the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set out on a candlestick? For there is nothing hidden which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hears shall more be given. For he that has, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Psalm 37:12-29. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Proverbs 10:5. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. I want to speak to you today from our Torah portion in Exodus 25, and then we're going to jump into Mark chapter 4. And so I want to zoom in on a particular verse, and it's verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. Significantly, the verse does not say that I may dwell within it. The Mishkan is not intended to physically contain Hashem within its walls. Rather, the Sforno explains, it is a place which enables Hashem to dwell among them, meaning in the midst of the children of Israel. Unlike pagan places of worship, the Mishkan is not meant to provide a home on earth for a god. Rather, the Mishkan and ultimately the Beit HaMikdash, or the temple in Jerusalem, are designed to facilitate the relationship between Hashem and his children, where every person can go to draw near to God. Now I want to go into Mark chapter 4, and in this chapter we read the parable of the sower. Now let me speak to you a little bit about parables. Yeshua often spoke in parables. Why did he do that? He's basically speaking in code. There's a deeper hidden message. And so when he's speaking in a parable, most people stay at the Peshat level of understanding. That is, on the surface. What do the verses say on the surface? But Yeshua has a deeper hidden message hidden within the parable. And to get to that message, you have to go into drash and into sowed, into the deeper hidden message. So this particular parable, the parable of the sower, is actually a master key which unlocks all other parables. And how do we know this? Yeshua said in verse 13, and he said to them, know you not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? So this parable gives you a key to unlock all his other parables. So he does interpret this parable for them. And basically what he is talking about is that the sower who is sowing seed, the seed is the word of God. And that there are different heart conditions when the seed gets sown. When the seed is first sown and some of it falls beside the road, and then some crows and some birds come up and they eat it up, then this is a condition of a heart that is hard and stony. So Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in that person's heart. So the seed was sown on stony ground. Then the next heart condition or soil condition is the seed that is sown and it falls on stony ground. Not beside the road, but on stony ground. And immediately it sprang up, but it didn't have any depth of roots. And when the sun comes up, it's scorched and it had no root and it withers away. And Yeshua's interpretation of that is they have no root in themselves, and so they endure for a short time. But when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, when you look back on your own walk over the years, can you think of a time when perhaps you did something out of obedience unto the Lord, and then that thing that you did not turn out so well, or there was a lot of persecution, suffering, and sacrifice involved? And maybe in the doing of that thing, you became offended, like, oh, man, I really wish I hadn't done this. I regret going down this path. And you become offended. I've been there. I've experienced that. And then what this parable is showing us is that, well, I guess the seed landed on stony ground. Because if your roots are not deep, then the seed withers and you can become offended because of the persecution going on. And so, again, this parable is like looking in a mirror, and it reflects back to us the condition of our own heart. We should recognize ourselves in reading this parable, because every one of us at one point in time, before we came to know Yeshua, before we had him come into our heart as our Savior and our Lord, every one of us was in the very first soil condition where the seed got thrown beside the road and the crows and the birds came and ate it up. Our back was turned to God and we were doing our own thing and living in the world. We all started there. And then in the third soil condition, the seed is sown among thorns, and the thorns grow up and choke it out and yield no fruit. And Yeshua's interpretation is the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entered in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now, I can certainly relate to this, and I'm sure many of you can as well. The cares of this world. What kind of cares? Well, we get involved with family drama. We get involved with trying to run a business or trying to be successful in a job or a career. We get involved with upgrades and repairs to a home. And we get involved with, you know, perhaps grown children that have gone astray and are now in big trouble and we have to bail them out. We get involved in all kinds of cares of the world. And then we're not being fruitful for the kingdom. A big principle associated to this is being available for the Lord. So if you think of your life like a plate that has food on it, and if the plate, if you've been through a buffet line and then you load up on your plate a whole bunch of salad and then meat, you know, meat and potatoes and some vegetables and some, you know, lots of tasty things on the plate. And the plate is just loaded and there's no more room on the plate. Sometimes our life begins to look like that plate. It's just overloaded, overflowing. There's just no more room on the plate. You cannot take on one more responsibility. And when My life was like that. 6 months ago, I was not available to a kingdom assignment that the Lord had in mind for me because my plate was just overloaded with other things. And then some changes happened, and I had to let go of a part-time job at Safeway, and I changed my living situation and wasn't involved with doing childcare anymore for my grandchildren. And all of a sudden, my plate had some empty space on it. It just had a couple things on it instead of being overloaded. And because I was available and there was time availability in my life, all of a sudden, within a week after unloading some of those things off of my plate, all of a sudden, a huge door opened up to me about serving on a short-term assignment in Israel. And it was a huge door. And I know without a doubt that if I had not made myself available and emptied some of the things off of my plate, this door would not have opened. And so I will be leaving to go to Israel in about 10 days, and I'll be there for about 7 weeks. And it's a huge door that the Lord has orchestrated, that He has opened. But the key was I became available. So I encourage you and I exhort you, if you have lots of cares of this world and lots of things overloading your plate, ask the Lord to help you to get some of those things off of your plate. Make yourself available. Have some empty spaces on your plate so that you're available to an assignment or to a calling that the Lord has in mind for you. Okay, the last soil condition is the seed that lands on fertile ground, and the ground has been plowed up and tilled, and the seed produces 30, 60, and even 100-fold. And that's the kind of heart that we want to have. We want to have the soil of our heart that's been plowed. Now, let me tell you, plowing can be painful. When soil is hard and you have to get it wet with some tears, with some repentance, and then when the plow comes along, it's turning the soil over, and that can be some painful things, some trials or circumstances. It's just the Lord is tilling up the hardness of soil of our heart. But it's well worth it because then the heart, the soil that's been tilled, can receive the seed and become productive and fruitful for His kingdom. And that's what we want. So tilled soil is soil that is humble. It's soil that has repented and continues to repent. It's soil that is teachable. It's soil that is sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's soil that is sold out to the kingdom. That Yeshua is number one. He is the master. He is the Lord. He's in charge. And nothing else matters. Nothing else compares. Nothing else holds a candle to Him. So, that's a little bit more about this parable, and actually it is like a master key that unlocks all other parables. And so we have to look at the deeper meaning, the hidden coded message inside of it, that it's really talking about the condition of our heart. So Abba, we thank You for these parables. We thank You that it is like a mirror, looking in the mirror and seeing ourselves and recognizing ourselves. And Abba, we know that sometimes we get weeds, we get thorns, we get stones in the soil of our heart. And I pray, Abba, that you totally have permission to pull out the weeds, to remove the brambles and the thorns and the stones that end up in our soil of our heart. Please remove all of that so that our heart soil is ready to receive Your seed, Your word. So that when Your word is planted in our hearts, we want there to be fruitfulness. We want there to be a 30, 60, and 100-fold increase. So please do that work, Father, in our hearts, so that each and every one of us is fruitful and productive for your kingdom. In Yeshua's name, amen. Good morning, Mishpacha. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Today is Thursday, February 23rd. I want to draw your attention to a new podcast that you can listen to, Heartbeat for Israel. The show is hosted by Sharon Sanders, co-founder and director of Christian Friends of Israel. She's lived in Israel for the last 25 years, building authentic and loving relationships with our Jewish brothers and sisters. Now you can listen to her teachings on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or SoundCloud. Just go to one of these podcast platforms and search for Heartbeat for Israel, and you will find the program there. She brings a unique and much-needed perspective to the table. Here are the titles of some of her teachings. What is the missing link in our faith? Buried in the sands of time. The Jewishness of Jesus. Jerusalem, the throne of the Lord. The red letter words of Jesus, a paradox, the halt of history. We are partners and friends with this ministry. Please tune in each week and listen to Heartbeat for Israel, and soon you will sense a spiritual heartbeat for Israel. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Hebrew Scriptures and from the King James for the Brit Hadashah. Today we continue the Torah portion, Terumah, and it means offerings. Exodus 26:31-37. You shall make a curtain of blue, purple, and crimson yarns and fine twisted linen. It shall have a design of cherubim worked into it. Hang it upon four posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and having hooks of gold set in four sockets of silver. Hang the curtain under the clasps, and carry the ark there behind the curtain, so that the curtain shall serve you as a partition between the holy and the holy of holies. Place the cover upon the ark and the holy of holies. Place the table outside the curtain and the menorah by the south wall of the Mishkan opposite the table, which is to be placed by the north wall. You shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine twisted linen done in embroidery. Make five posts of acacia wood for the screen, and overlay them with gold, their hooks being of gold, and cast for them five sockets of silver. Mark 6:30-56. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Yeshua, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, Come yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship, privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities. And out went them, and came together to him. And Yeshua, when he came out, saw many people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said to them, Give them to eat. And they said to him, What shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? And he said to them, How many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did eat all and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And when he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. And when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said to them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were coming out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And wherever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Psalm 40:1-10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts, which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto you. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Yes, your law, your Torah, is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Proverbs 10:11-12. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strifes, but love covers all sins. I want to speak to you today from the reading out of Mark chapter 6, but before we go there, I just want to give a word of affirmation and encouragement to all of you who are listening regularly to Daily Audio Torah. So it is an awesome thing to be in the Word on a daily basis. And what it does is it renews our mind. And if you think of your mind like a big bucket, a container, and we're constantly taking in input, and we live in this world, and what can happen is we take in the input from television, from the media, from the mainstream media, from Twitter and Facebook and sports, commercials. It's a lot of programming. And I've actually gotten to the point where I really do not watch television at all. And let me tell you, I used to be addicted. It was my way of zoning out after coming home from work and being exhausted. I would just turn on the tube and just, you know, watch a certain show or whatever. And I just don't do that anymore. There's a reason why they call it programs, because they're basically programming you, and it's done with a great deal of skill and with all the advertisements and commercials, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, the mainstream news is totally biased. It's got an agenda, and it's not a godly agenda at all. So I do listen to select podcasts, certain programs where I believe I can receive some truth about what's really going on. But other than that, when you're in the Word, you're being programmed with truth and with love and with righteousness and with the thoughts of God Himself. And the more you're in the Word, the better. There used to be a time when I was really a news junkie, and I was in the news quite a bit every day, and I was reporting the news on a daily basis. And let me tell you, being in the news, whether you're in the alternative news media or even in the mainstream, it's crawling in the cesspools and in the sewers of the world, because it's a lot of bad news. A lot of bad news, and a lot of deception, a lot of lies and propaganda. And it's not good for our soul, it's not good for our spirit. Now, I'm not going to be swinging to the other side of the pendulum and stick my head in the sand like a, you know, an ostrich. I do want to know what's going on, and I do still report the news, but only once a week, not every day. So I still need to be in the news, but here's the principle. If you spend more time in the news than you spend in the Word, you're out of balance. You should spend at least as much time in the Word as you are in the news, if not more time in the Word. So I know I am greatly blessed myself personally to be reading the Word of God every single day. It renews my mind, and it puts the thoughts of God in my heart and in my spirit. And I pray that it's a huge blessing to you as well, because we are fighting a culture war and an information war. And the enemy wants to captivate us and bring us into his camp. And one of the primary ways that he does that is with indoctrination, propaganda, with information that isn't really information, it's propaganda. So I just commend you for being in the Word on a regular basis every single day. And, you know, if you miss a day or two, don't beat yourself up about it. Just keep on going forward. Just keep going forward and make it a priority to be in the Word, because it is the plumb line of truth. And this is what guards us and protects us from deception. And let me tell you, there's a strong spirit of delusion that has been loosed and released upon this world. And a lot of people are affected by it. Loved ones, family members, even fellow believers I've seen have become captive to this spirit of delusion. And it is an evil spirit. And the best way to safeguard ourselves and to protect ourselves from being deluded and deceived is to be in the Word on a daily basis. Okay, now let's get into today's reading. And I want to jump into Mark chapter 6. And in this chapter, we see the feeding of the 5,000. And there is some, there's a message in what is happening here. So the message is, there's a hidden message, a remez message, a sowed message, a hidden message that we want to decode. And the message is not so much what Yeshua says as what Yeshua does. We have to look at his actions. And then from those actions, we can look at what is the message that he is saying through those actions. It's a prophetic message based upon his actions. So they're out in a wilderness place and the people are hungry. He's been teaching them. He's moved with compassion because he sees that they are like scattered sheep without a shepherd. And so he teaches them. And then it's late in the day and the people are hungry. And the disciples come to him and say, let's send them on home so we can move on and they can go get some food. And he goes, well, how many loaves of bread do you have? And they said, well, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so he has all the people sit down in groups. He breaks the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and he looks up to heaven and blesses them, breaks the loaves, and gives them to the disciples to distribute amongst the people. What is the significance of 5 loaves? Why 5 and not 2 or 12 or 9? Why 5 loaves? The 5 loaves of bread represent the first 5 books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch, or in some terms, people would call it the Torah. Although when I say the word Torah, I mean the whole entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But some people, when they use that word Torah, they're talking about the first 5 books. So the five loaves represent the first five books of the Bible. Yeshua said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He also said, "I am the bread of life." And he told his disciples, "You are to eat of my flesh." In other words, eat the bread that I have to give you. That he did not mean literally eat my flesh. It was the bread. The word of God is the bread of life. So the five loaves represent the first five books. What about the two fish? Why two fish and not nine or three? Why two fish? Because the fish represents the northern and the southern kingdom. There was once one kingdom, and then there was a kingdom split. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And the two tribes of the south were under Rehoboam. That's Judah. And the 10 tribes of the north were under Jeroboam, the 10 tribes of the north, and that's known as the house of Israel or Ephraim. So the two fish represent the northern and the southern kingdom. And then afterwards, after the people ate, there were leftovers. And the disciples picked up the leftovers and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. Why 12 and not 14 or 19? Why 12? Because the 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes. It also represents the 12 tribes are the 12 apostles. So in the kingdom, in Revelation, when we see the heavenly Jerusalem, we have 12 gates and we have 12 foundations. And the 12 gates are the 12 tribes. The 12 foundations are the 12 apostles. So the number 12 is the number of government. And so that's what those numbers have a deeper meaning for. And Yeshua is also saying through his actions, I want you to teach the people all of the Torah, not just the Noahide laws, but they are to study all of the Torah. It's for all of the people. It's for the northern and for the southern kingdom. Feed my sheep, he said to Peter. And he says, don't just feed them just the Noahide laws, but they're to get the whole enchilada, the whole counsel of the Word of God, all of it. Not just the New Testament either, but all of the Word of God. So that's what the deeper meaning is of this story, of this feeding of the 5,000. Now, finally, I want to jump into Proverbs chapter 10 and look at verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. So that's a beautiful principle, and I want to share a little bit about how I've applied that principle in my own life recently. So sometimes in families, there can be drama. There can be relationships that are strained, and people who in a family system become unforgiving and have offenses and become bitter. And so I'm not going to go into details, but recently I gathered with some of my family over the holidays back in December, and some of the family members were unable to gather because there was a very bad storm and the roads were like an ice skating rink, and so they couldn't make it. And so this caused some strife and some friction. And a couple of the family members became offended with me. And there was a rejection that happened. And so initially, this really, really hurt. We're human. And when you are rejected by somebody you love, it really hurts. But the challenge is, and what I knew to do was to pray it through and to take this to the Lord and to walk in grace and in forgiveness. And so what do you do when someone is unkind and unloving to you? Well, Yeshua calls us to walk in the opposite spirit, that do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult. But what this proverb is telling us is, when there's hatred, if you respond in kind with hatred, it's going to create more strife. It's going to be wood to the fire. Love covers all sins. And so I'll make this analogy. Back in the 1960s, there was the Cuban Missile Crisis, and there was a very good movie made about this crisis. It's called 7 Days in May. If you've never seen it, it's a really great film. 7 days in May. And in this movie, it really goes into the details of this crisis. It was a terrible crisis between the U.S. and Russia. And they had a couple of nukes parked out on Cuba, far too close to American shores. And it became a nuclear missile crisis, and people were really wondering, are we going to have a World War III? Is Russia going to set those missiles off and take out a couple of cities with nukes? So how the Kennedy administration diffused this crisis is amazing, and it applies this principle from Proverbs. So Robert Kennedy, who was working for his brother, John Kennedy, had this brilliant idea of let's work through a back channel, because the main channels were closed. They weren't even talking to each other. But let's work through a back room channel, a back channel, and reach out to someone on the other side and, you know, have a conversation with them and say, hey, we really want to resolve this. We don't want to have a war with you. Let's make a compromise. Let's, you know, you take your nukes off of Cuba and we'll do this for you. And so they had that meeting, and then they got like a, I don't know if it's a telegram or some kind of a message back from Russia. And it was very belligerent and angry and, you know, sounding like they didn't get the message or they ignored the message, you know, and that they're ready to go to war. And so Robert Kennedy, who is, I think, like functioning as the Secretary of State for his brother, John Kennedy, he said, you know, we're going to just act like that never came through. We're going to ignore that warlike message that came through, because we don't even know who sent it. It might not even be the president or the leader. It could be one of the generals that is a military hawk and really wants to go to war. We're just going to ignore that message, and we're going to proceed as though we have a deal. And so another backroom meeting happened with their, you know, contact from the other side, and they proceeded with negotiations to defuse this crisis. And the fact that they ignored that military message that was very, you know, warlike in its tone is what really turned the tide. They ignored it. And it's very much the principle of hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sin. So we can choose to be offended. Let's make this personal now, not between two nations, but in a family member situation. We can choose to be offended and stay hurt and add wood to the fire, or we can ignore the bad behavior, forgive it in our prayer closet, forgive that person, pray grace and mercy over them, and ask God to give you His grace of forgiveness to forgive this person, and continue to show and demonstrate unconditional love. No matter what, even with their worst behavior, I'm going to show unconditional love consistently. I may not even feel it. I may be still hurt and even angry with that person, but I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to show unconditional love, no matter what. Throw your worst at me. You can tar and feather me. You can, you know, all of that, but I'm going to show unconditional love, because that's what Yeshua would do. And so this is what can extinguish the fires of a conflict. Love is like the water that puts out the fire. And so eventually, the prayer is that God will soften that other person's heart, and that they will begin to think about, now, why is this person always consistently showing me love when I treat them so badly? And it may cause a change of heart. It may not. The person may never repent. They may never get over their issues. But we've done the right thing. I so wish and pray that how Robert Kennedy handled the Cuban Missile Crisis back in the 60s would be something that could happen today, because we are now on the verge of a World War III, because we have been poking the Russian bear and provoking the Russian bear with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And instead of trying to de-escalate the situation, our leaders are making things much worse. So All of these things God knows, and He is sovereign, and we are trusting in Him to protect and to bless His remnant flock. So may you be one who uses love to cover all sins. Have a blessed day.
Yevrekka Adonai Vishmerekka Yaya Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Yisa Adonai Panavilaka Vayasen leka
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.